Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Hey.
How are you?
I am abiding like the shepherds in the field.
It's an interesting day.
I
would just confirm that I think that we have a real serious problem with CXC. That needs cool heads and a little wisdom, because a lot at stake, and clearly something is wrong. We can't ignore the fact that people took an exam and then got a report which said that they did not. So something is seriously wrong there. And therefore, what you have suggested is definitely required.
How are we going to get it?
Sorry?
How are we going to get it? how are we going to get it?
You mean solve it?
Yeah, because, look, sir, I don't think the CXC has ever been asked to explain some of the things they're being asked to explain now. I don't think they've ever been asked who did the grading, how many SBAs were actually corrected, if all were done, by whom, was the sample rate used, do they use software, have they changed the software that they use. I don't think they've ever been asked these questions, right?
Right.
So one, they ain't accustomed to giving answers. Now two, if they give, as I said, I just asking questions from the stupidity point of view, okay? So if we come up with a situation where the CXC says, look, for the last 10 years, we have never corrected all the SBAs. We've used a 20% sampling or 10% sampling, and we've done projections. Now suppose somebody from 10 years ago says, so hold on, so wait. You ain't correct my SBA? So you give John Stout up there a grade X, and he got scholarship, and he gone Scotland, and I hear so scrambling, and you ain't correct my SBA? By unfair, right. I go into my lawyer. You see how you now open up yourself. Worms. Yeah, not can of worms. Mosquitoes, because they fly about. Worms you might be able to catch. But so in every situation, you're going to have people defending turf. You've heard accusations of favoritism and people doing this and that and all these accusations. People, you're casting aspersions. But then you say the person at CXC did this or didn't do that. That's not an aspersion. So everybody starts to defend turf.
Yeah.
Right? And when you're defending turf, so you don't fix nothing. You know, you just want to win. So your objective is to beat the other person till they can't get up no more. And then you have one.
That is my first thing. But the second thing, Dennis, is what I merely call about today, which is following on from the guy who called in relation to labor and the plantocracy. You remember the unions?
I always keep up. Yeah.
Good. I thought this was an interesting matter, and one that needs to be taken up for dialogue by us as a people, because largely capital now is a lot of our own people and not just another race. And the question is whether the unions can go through the transition of trying to help labor understand capital. So we are not calling it colonialism or plantocracy anymore. We are referring to it as capital, business owners as capital, and labor as employees. Now, there's a great chasm in the thinking, in the difference of thinking between employees and employers.
Correct. Can't disagree with you on
that. And what is required is a bridging of the gap in view of a better society for all of us and a better outcome for Barbados as a place. And on that note, we might as well face it that the education system needs a complete revamp as well. So as we review the CXC debacle, we might as well look at where education is, because we are not creating thinkers. The system has been designed to create regurgitators, and they are not helpful to the society going forward. They will play a role, but they really are not helpful in reshaping the place going forward.
Again, so, sir, I can't disagree with what you've just said. Because the perception, and notice I'm calling it the perception is in the minds of most employees that once you own a business, you're rolling in dough.
Yes.
And if you're what can be seen, the size of your car, the size of your house, where your children are going to school, if they got cars, if that's the measure, they want the same pound of flesh as they would from the people you refer to as the plantocracy, because in their mind, you're now a member of them and not us.
Yeah.
So yeah. I have usually made the comment that success is a bad word for a lot of people. You can't say I've succeeded in this field that I'm in, so therefore there's an opportunity for you too to succeed in it. And unfortunately, really unfortunately, I do agree with you that we have raised a set of people to regurgitate and get by rather than try to step out into uncharted waters and create a new path.
Yes.
Right? I've made the comment to someone who's asked me about it that perhaps we need to start teaching our people and telling them that we exist where we are in the Caribbean because of something called trade. Columbus wanted to find a new trading route to India, so he went to the West. So we were discovered by the Europeans because of trade. Then when they seized the lands in the West and wanted people to work on it, they brought our ancestors here as part of another trade, slave trade. So trade has been our creator. That's how we get here. So if we start telling our people that we need to perhaps develop new trading routes and you know, find ways to find something to trade rather than sitting down and being consumers, we may be able to change the mindset.
That is correct.
Oh, okay.
See, so I'm suggesting that labor, that unions, rather than see capital as this place or station at which we have to fight, there's a battle with these people.
Right.
We need to understand that we need to help labor understand what is capital so that they can themselves
become capitalists.
Become capital.
Yeah.
You follow? And this would help our country to become a productive country. Mm-hmm. Because what does this real chasm between capital and labor is in the area of productivity. So we have what was referred to as an army of occupation, where labor sees itself as having to find every possible avenue to get away from working. So I'm obsessed with how much vacation I can get.
Correct.
How much off days I can
and
get.
And I'm owed 21 get. Days sick leave, yeah.
Yes, and how much funeral time I can get.
Yeah.
Rather than thinking about my productivity, which is what will earn me the money that I am working for.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is a great need, and really, the unions can charge labor their fee that they are paying for helping them to do the transition from labor to capital so that the country becomes more productive. Because if a worker learns his skill and he knows it, is competent, he has his competence, he will never be refrained by capital because he will eventually move over to capital himself.
Correct. And be and be a creator of wealth rather than a consumer of other people's things.
But never be held down.
But sir,
no,
you
thank
see,
you for hearing me then.
No, but I am glad that you took the time out to put it the way you did as well, because one of the things that we have to look at seriously is the question of what we call business and how we identify business. And I'll tell you why I'm saying this. I'm speaking, again, from a selfish point of view. The business that I'm in, the business of radio, for example.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. Now, look at the effect that Barbados' Miss Fenty has had on the music industry in the United States. And people have talked, some of them on air, about the Rihanna model. No, I can't sing. Okay? I don't look like Rihanna. Yeah. I don't have her attributes. So I can't follow her model. But here's the thing.
Right.
If because of Rihanna's appeal to the United States and people all over the world, the producers in Barbados, the producers of content in Barbados, in particular, radio announcers, persons who are skilled as producers and who have a voice that sounds like Rihanna's, has a nice tropical, you know, exotic twang to it, were to use her appeal to say to the radio stations in the United States, we could produce jingles for you, you know. We could produce fillers for you. We could produce station IDs for you. The same way the Yankee fella who tells me every year about Red Hot Kahubla Pot at Spitztown with Mickey. And he means Spitztown with Mikey. And it's Kahubla Pot, not Kahubla Pot. And we pay him in US dollars because we ain't paying him in corned beef cans. But that impresses Bajans. So he all over them radio stations in Barbados, talking rubbish and making money.
Yeah.
And my people who went to community college, who had all kinds of degrees coming out of their ears, have not written to the United States various radio stations that they get music from to play at fets and ting dong here and tell them, yo, listen, I from Barbados. I speaks like Rihanna. I could do your jingles and thing for you here. No, we want to talk like Jamaicans when we play reggae music. Right? Because we don't get it. And we say there ain't opportunities. There ain't this, there ain't that. So my sister sent me a picture of people playing mass in China. People in China playing mass. They got a music truck. They're playing, I don't know, Kaiso, soca. They got a Chinese woman that can't walk up with a flag that's half Trinidad and half Barbados flag leading the truck. And I sit down there looking at this and going, what you send me this for to upset me? Delete. Because, serious, you have Jamaican artists who come to Barbados for reggae shows. I've had the opportunity to speak with them. And they tell me they don't get the opportunity to travel to the world the way they used to. Because when they go to those countries, Switzerland, Scandinavia, Sweden, them places up there, so where the white girls had like fellas with locks, and you know, like how, my boy named Shaggy look, and you know, Maxi Priest and them. Fellas say they ain't getting them jobs anymore, because when they go there, people tell them, nah, brethren, we own reggae singers and they sound just like you too. And they got locks, but blonde. So they ain't getting money from them anymore. You got music coming out of Africa that have more soca in it than what we produce in here.
Yes.
So there are opportunities if we understand our value and we see ourselves, as you have said, as capital, ways of making wealth for ourselves, rather than sitting down here and groping and crying and talking about exploitation. There was a time in Barbados when we had at least, sorry, you give me a soapbox, so I just stand up for it for a minute. I can step off it in a second before I fall off. There was a time in Barbados when we had about 12, 13 companies doing ads. We had at least that many recording studios. Grey Lizard, Anthony Loha, all over the place. We used to be doing work for Cable and Wireless. We used to be doing work for all them companies all over the world. Alan Shepard at Grey Lizard called me one afternoon to do a job for Cable and Wireless in the Cayman Islands. They wanted to do an ad for radio and television in every Caribbean island, from Trinidad in the south right up to the Bahamas in the north, but not Barbados. And they wanted Ian Bishop to do it, and they couldn't find him, so they called me. We don't get them jobs anymore. We don't get those jobs anymore because everybody feels they know how to announce. So you get somebody working at some business place somewhere who doing their internal advertising, who comes on the radio and says, we, this company, have agreed to close tomorrow for business from 8 until stocks last. And you ain't follow what they say, and I ain't follow what they say, because people keep calling afterwards and asking, where's that place? What time it closing? What time tomorrow? Because the ad did not deliver the message. But we do not believe it takes a professional to do it, because people who do what I do not consider themselves professional. So they settle for anything, and they undersell themselves. And my people don't get it when I tell them that. They just get vexed at me. And that's what I don't get. Oh, you think you're this? You want to talk all the time. You know everything. Jeez, on ages, forget about me. Think about you.
Yes. The trouble is that this mix between the educational system and what we are discussing is critical. What the most critical component coming out of education is self-esteem.
Correct.
The most critical component. So if you see yourself as nothing, well, you can't go away.
And you can't put a price on what you do either.
Exactly.
Because you don't know what it costs. You ain't ask anybody. Right. You don't know. And this is where you get taken advantage of, sir. Because a company says to you, I can pay you $5 per second to read this line for me. Caffeinol kills pain. You say, that's all? Yeah. Okay, so you go. You want to hear your voice? So you go. Caffeinol kills pain. Thank you. They give $15. And then they write on the bottom of the contract, you can't say anything but any other tablet for the next 5 years. For $15? Really? So that's what happens when you don't know your value and you do not understand business. And what are you talking about? Capital and making it work for you. Sir, I thank you. Forgive me the little soapbox to stand on here. I will retreat and let John take over from up top there. Brassax, good afternoon. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I'd like you on the program, please.
Ma'am, you are on the program.
Oh, let me turn off this radio.
Please.
Ooh. Yeah, you were saying just now, I really began to see you.
That's strange. Yeah. I've been around for a long while. To where have I been hidden?
But you don't know. You don't know that.
What did have you seen?
You don't know that. People have lived together for years, and yeah, they don't see each other.
The deeper
you.
Are you seeing a deeper me?
everything at one time, you see.
I suppose that too.
There's an Avatar. I never get to watch the whole movie. I gotta go back to it. You know, some movies are so long. But that thing has got popular. I see you see me. Because it took a time for them to understand each other, right? And it is actually biblical. When, if you watch some of these movies, you will see they draw down from the Bible a lot and so on. When Abraham put out Hagar because she was making confusion in the home, disrespecting Sarah, who was her mistress, right? He had to put her out, and she was in the desert, thinking that she and her child would die. And she prayed. She went one side and leave each other and praised God. And God heard her. So then she realized when God told her he would not allow her to die and her son, and he showed her where to find water and everything, she said, you'll see me. You're my God. You'll see me. He saw her fault. What she was doing was nonsense, but he was still there to guide her to live. So she and her son would live. And when I say I see you, is I'm seeing a deeper you know, see? All right. What you just said about us not, you know, like really digging deep into what we already have, that's how you understand it. It's so true. I mean, like, they're not fully to blame because we have been conditioned to wait on people and so on. So there's a journey that we are on. And I'm saying to myself, okay, our children, my grand, this exam and CSC that have them kerfuffle and whatever, I am hoping that they wouldn't, parents and children are not home, just more pain and fretting and crying because that got passed and they got to sit down and decide what to do about this situation. As you were telling somebody earlier, if parents don't get together and actually not only demonstrate but make a plan as to how they will get this thing sorted out, right? Nothing will be done. You can't go it alone. Things come into play. Like they wanted to have another demonstration, and then because of COVID, hardly anybody has turned up the other day. So I hope they don't give up. But keep pressing on and finding other ways to deal with the situation. And I see the world as on a reset. We're in a reset world. So therefore, even the Caribbean, a lot of these children are looking to go overseas and spread the wings out there. What about spreading wings within the Caribbean? This is an area, a wonderful, beautiful area where we can build up and we can be self-sufficient. Some people may not think so, but we can be self-sufficient in this area. I didn't say it totally, but, you know, so that we wouldn't be continuously begging and haggling and pushing just to go elsewhere. A lot of our brains are exported, right? So when you say that about musicians and so on, they said, whoa, that is so true. So I'm just praying that we would really set ourselves to do, find ways to do things.
But ma'am, the opportunities are there, you know. The problem is that, well, perhaps some of what you say about people waiting to be handed things, maybe it's true. I don't know. Let me share this with you again. Huh? When I worked at Paradise Beach Hotel, Cunard had a number of ships and a number of hotels. They owned the top, the Bellevue in Philadelphia, the Watergate in Washington, the Ritz and the Stafford in London. They owned Le Toque in St. Lucia, Paradise Beach Hotel in Barbados. I could remember those off the top of my head. They had ships, QE2, Saga Ford, Vista Ford, Cunard Countess, Cunard Princess, Sea Goddess 1, Sea Goddess 2, some others. The Countess came into Barbados every other Wednesday. The QE2 came in at Christmas time. We had 5 bands playing at Paradise Beach Hotel, sometimes more, sometimes 7.
Care about those days.
We had a different band every night. Some had 2. We had Sing All Barbados. Mm. We had, you know, Richard Stout, Tony, not Clarence Thompson. We had a lot of entertainers, right? Mm. I asked the guys on Cunard, when you come in for Christmas, give your bands on board a break. You had 5 entertainment decks on the QE2. Let my bands play on the QE2 and, you know, give your bands a break so that the people on the ship could get a taste of the local bands. They asked me, you ain't gonna need a work permit? I say, what? I paying my guys in Barbados. They're just playing on the ship while you're there. They said, okay, no problem. Some people said yes. Others say, we don't know the voltage on the ship. It may spoil the equipment. We don't know. When the QE2 wanted a band replacement, They sent a note asking me if I had any bands that I wanted to recommend. I recommended some bands here. None of them wanted to go on the ship. They didn't want to play the ship's instruments because they didn't know it. They didn't want to take their instruments because they were worried about the voltage being wrong. The guys at La Talk in St. Lucia, a band at La Talk in St. Lucia, called and asked, said they heard about it. They wanted to know if they could audition. I tell them, sure. They got on a Liat plane, came to Barbados with no instruments, went on the QE2, auditioned, stayed on the QE2 for years. Every time they came to Barbados for Christmas, they would call me and tell me, you want anything, boss? You want some pears? You want some apples? You want some grapes? You want ham? Because we get this gig and, you know, we feel like getting a little something for Christmas. You want a bottle of Johnny Walker Black? They were there for years. Until they took the ship off and sent it, they were there. Some guys from St. Lucia. The opportunity was there. It was a case of just saying, grab it with your hands.
So it was fear. Fear of the instrument, the electricity.
Fear of themselves.
Well, they couldn't get that
part out. Fear of themselves, ma'am. Yeah. It had to be fear of yourself. Because if you're a musician, if you playing a piano and it badly tuned, you'll say, this is a badly tuned piano. But don't say, I ain't going to play a piano because I don't know if it tuned. It to me, sometimes we don't have the confidence in ourselves to say, yes, we could do it. We just don't. And therefore, we find something or someone to hold on to and blame.
You know that Britain, a couple of years back, 2-3 years back, said that they can't hold up the territories anymore. And you know, they tell them, okay, attend to your own business, though. Attend to your business. So therefore, that's what one of the ministers said. So therefore, I don't know how many people heard that. So really, you're going to either get fearful and stagnate, or even in spite of the fear, you do what you have to do, in spite of.
Well, ma'am, I hope we get it done because it expresses itself in several ways, several times. I saw a note on WhatsApp saying, if we become a republic, who's going to have our back? China? So people are still afraid of different things. 4341790 Brass Tax, good afternoon.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
I just called to thank my colleague for supporting me, and many other people called me off here and supported me in my contribution yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to say that I used three acronyms. One was CMI, which is the Caribbean Maritime Institute.
Mm-hmm.
That deal with all Caribbean maritime affairs, include training, all kinds of maritime training.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was IMO, which is International Maritime Organization.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, the acronym for it, the other one was STCW, which means Safety Training Certification for Watchkeepers. That's what STCW means.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you have that, you can't work on the ship. And that's why I'm so insistent that the government deal with that aspect of it.
Okay.
But you forget one. You forget one corner ships. There's no, which is the one that used to be here first, along with the QE2, which is the corner ambassador.
The ambassador. That's why I said there were others. There was
the
Queen Mary came at one time too.
Yeah, the Queen Mary used to be here too, yeah. And they got a new Queen Elizabeth.
A new Queen Mary.
And yeah. That Queen Mary is, I mean, that Queen Mary is something else that's massive.
Most of the ships are today.
Yeah, but particularly the Queen Mary, that ship is, I mean, I went on that Queen Mary, and when I went in the bridge, and I looked down at the signal station was like a little dot on the wall. Yeah,
when I tell people that some of the new ships are tall as the central bank when you stand next to it, they think I'm joking, but that's the impression when I look up.
But you're
correct. It's like I'm standing up at the door of the central bank looking up because I'm breaking my neck.
Yeah, and the people down on the docks, those ships are so big, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, but the other thing is, sir, I'm sure that someone who spent as much time as you have going on and off a ship, the bridges change over the years too.
Yeah.
They don't look
bridges are changed.
Yeah.
You don't see the bridge on a big wheel and all.
They ain't got no wheel anymore. I saw two ladies sitting down, looked like they were watching TV for the whole time I was there.
Yeah, but I went on ocean.
Ship was literally sailing itself.
You see a big, long, lot of meters from starboard, from port to starboard on those ship bridges, and joysticks. They use joysticks now.
If there's a wheel,
that wheel might only be there. A small wheel.
A little smaller than the car wheel.
just for decoration. but you should now do everything on the own by just press button work. I mean, it is amazing.
The other thing is this, right? It has gotten ships into trouble because sometimes the charts they use are either A, not up to date. So sometimes there's a reef somewhere, and when they program the ship, unless they got a alarm, a depth sounder, to tell them, look, you're getting into trouble. That's why some of these ships run aground. When people take their eye off the button, or they don't have the monitors engaged, but they're pretty safe. They navigate themselves. Yeah, course, you leave it to them, and you say, steer yourself there. I can just watch you.
Yeah, but I can tell something about these ships. They got something like wings, so that when the sea get rough,
stabilizers.
Right?
So they don't rock and roll as people believe they do. Sometimes, again, the sea is too rough, but yeah. But they're pretty stable.
Yeah, they're very, very stable and very, very safe. But the other thing I want to mention, too, is that the ships, and as much as you're talking about people living down the bottom of the ship, that ain't exactly true, you know. Down the bottom, the very bottom of the ship, where they got the keel down there, the bilge.
I ain't go down above there. I didn't mean down there, sir. You know above that, there too.
But I just give you an idea. Above there, the engine room. Then above the engine room is the engine room storeroom where the engine spare parts.
Uh-huh.
Above there is the storeroom for the ships.
Uh-huh.
And then above there, you could got the crew.
The crew quarters. The only point I was making, sir, was that I asked the gentleman if he expected to be up on the deck with the guests lying down by the pool. Who say he's down in the bottom, you know, not me.
You can't do that.
The people
that clear them, you can't even mingle with the group.
I was only telling you that the fellow did not know what he was getting into. And he tell me in the bottom of the ship, coop up all the time. And I tell him, well, you can't expect to be upstairs lying down by the pool sipping banana daiquiri. That's not what you went on the ship to do. That's the only reason why I put it that way, sir. I'm sorry you took it literally. Thank you, Anyo. WhatsApp message said, Dennis, the last advertisement, not the last one, the one before the last, this came in earlier, about the face masks and the FTC. It's the most aggressive and disgusting ad that I've heard in a long time. The language is confrontational, and honestly, if I was working at any business place and someone had called in that manner, I would definitely not entertain it. Who in the name of God writes these adverts? Would really like you to mention this. In the age of conflict resolution, are we promoting conflict? I can bite my tongue. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, I think.
All right.
What's up?
I remember we had the Tsar, Mr. Richard, whatever his name was.
Carter.
So Richard Carter. I always said to me he was too forceful and too much of a bully in my likings. I could be wrong using that word bully, but that's my word. Now we have Mr. Chapman. I want Mr. Chapman to know you got a school roll of 900 to around 200 plus teachers and ancillary staff. And if you got a little breakout in it that started from a home into a school, and you have a child that is associated to one of those classes that those two children to, who is he to tell me not to panic or worry? Now, when your child collapses and you're recognizing all the way in the house got it, who can take care of me? And he come in the way that people is overreacting, they're panicking too much. And I don't, that kind of tone for me, it's not comforting. His job is to come and say, look, we know you all are concerned, but please do not panic. Please do not blow things out of proportion. But don't tell me there ain't a reason, because he don't know that. He didn't know that mass was important in April or May or June. Where was he when they were saying don't use mass?
Who said so, sir?
In May, the ministry was saying that mask, do not use the mask.
Only which ministry said so, sir?
The Ministry of Health.
Said that way.
I heard Mr. Boster, the acting chief medical officer, said the World Health Organization said mask is dangerous when COVID first came out.
Really?
Yeah, they did.
Well, I must have missed that. I must have missed that one.
Yeah, Dennis, you miss it. And then they came back and said mask is the most important thing to use. Because New Zealand and all them are already masked up the people. China went back and masked up the people and recognizing they had to make it mandatory so that their people survive. And that's what helped China from point A to point B. Then they went rogue again and more problems. But all I'm saying is, you know what? It's his job to come on and speak to the people. But this rogue bully talk, I don't like.
Okay, sir.
You already get with all the politicians and all the deals and the business owners. You know, business owners tell people yesterday, and since this thing broke out at the school, or don't come to work or your child got allergy. You know how cruel that is to a human being? Anyway, enough of that. Then we deal with that. Because I keep saying if they would get together and put out words to the public, we would be a lot more obedient and a lot more simple to deal with.
I don't think so, sir. And I'll tell you why I disagree with you. I disagree with you because I just asked you repeatedly about the Ministry of Health and the Minister of Health, and you told me, yes, they heard it. The World Health Organization said so. So here's the problem. The Ministry of Health, the Government Information Service, the radio stations carried all sorts of public service announcements telling people how to protect themselves. Wash your hands, wear a mask in public. They talked about the different types of masks to wear. People say if they're running the mask, they would faint because you're breathing in carbon dioxide. Where did they get it from? The net. They went online and saw it and took their own guidance from that. They followed it based on what they read on the World Wide Web, because that knew more than the people here. Sir, in this age of everybody find their own means of communicating and go with what they feel, people have done what they want to do. And whether some people said that Mr. Carter was too abrupt, like you said, he was bullying and telling you what to do. He spoke Bajan. He said, what sweet and goat mouth got sore in the rear end. So you want to do what you want to do, do what you want to do. Some bullying? Okay. He said so. He said people will not like my line by doing it this way because I talk in hard. And you like it or you don't like it. Okay. So it may have upset you. So if somebody drop a big rock on your toe, as a human being, are you going to stand and say, oh my goodness, you've just dropped a big rock on my toe. Please tell me sorry. Or you're going to shout. If you see somebody about to step off a cliff and they're a friend of yours, you can stand and say, excuse me, please, you're about to step off a cliff. Or you're going to grab them by the scruff of the neck and say, what the fuck's wrong with you? You ain't see you step off the cliff. Man, stop yourself and keep quiet now. Even if he asks you why you're pulling my expensive $150 shirt. Because he's your friend. You don't want him to fall off the cliff. Sir, you may not like the messenger. You may not like his tone. See past that to the message. And see if there's something in the message you could hold on to. Because it might save your life. Brass Dax, good afternoon. Hello. 434-1790, the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Dax. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson. How are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah, I must have missed what the gentleman was speaking about. So, anyway, there's a lady who came on and she was calling Genesis. Huh? I want the ladies to know this is the way that the Greeks disinherited the Abraham's descendants, including Africans, from the inheritance. Prince University has put out a Bible. Just listen carefully. The Oxford Annotated Bible, the apocrypher, whose Genesis was done at Prince University, shows that what he just said. It's never contained in the Hebrew script, only in the Greek script. Never happened. When you speak about Hagar being sent away, stuff like that, didn't happen. As a matter of fact, it says quite clearly, the union between Hagar and Abraham was by God's command. That's what's in the Greek. That's what's in the Hebrew script. The Greeks stole and disinherited African people and the other descendants of Abraham. You see, Sabine Nakuda had a debate with Grammy Phillips in the nation was saved a few years ago, and he said Hagar was an Egyptian princess of dark complexion. The Bible dictionary from Princeton University shows that the Prophet Muhammad has Hagar as an ancestor and his ancestress, because Ishmael is his descendant, was his ancestor. That's how the Greeks did it. I've kept studying on this for a long time, but I can't really do it anymore. You have noticed that when they preach in church, they obviously the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I always forget Ishmael is the firstborn. Hagar is the queen of the nations because she's the mother of the firstborn. That is the definition of the word queen. The mother of the firstborn of the king is the queen. Hagar, the black Egyptian woman, is the queen of the earth, of the nations. Have a good afternoon.
Okay, sir. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Bless you. Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
I would like to, the gentleman that just called in, I would like him please to get off the Czar's shoulder for me. He has done a very good job in Barbados. So tell him please give Czar the benefit of the doubt. I thank you.
Okay. Somebody asked me to fact check the issue of the non-use of masks. That research the GIS archives. What do you want me to say? The caller is absolutely correct. They tell me I should mask or discouraged in the early days of the no dispute, do some fact checking. Okay, I will do some fact checking. I recall there being discussion on masks, the type of mask being used, whether people were wearing them correctly or incorrectly. I do not recall a ministry guidance on it. And I sit here, as I said, and I usually read them. So I will go to the GIS website and go back and check. Another one says, I don't know who said it, but I heard on the radio we should not wear masks. I thought they were saying it because they thought they would run out of the ones for the doctors. Okay. All right. I am not the font of all wisdom and knowledge, so I check. And when I don't know, I say I don't know. When I never heard it, I say I never heard it. I don't jump on bandwagons, unfortunately. So I will check the GIS website when I come off the air. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hello, Dennis.
Yes, it is.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes. I know, I realize, right? People can't be pleased at all. Don't care what you do, they can't be pleased. Not even God could please them.
No. That's the whole thing.
Not even God could please them. Mayor can't please them. Nobody can please them. You do this, they complain. You don't do this, they complain. What are they going to do? Well, that's why God has allowed this COVID, because they can't be pleased. God wanted their attention, but it wasn't given it. But anyway, this is what I call for. I went to Grenada in 1998, and Dennis, I saw this thing. This man on top of this police, right? And he was going around this thing, and people don't admire what they have, though. And when I look and see it going wrong, then if I had a friend that was coming in, and I forget I had to pick her up, by just admiring looking at this thing. That place is so beautiful. Grenada is so beautiful. I mean, my mother born there, but I just went there on a holiday. And I say, well, you know, I going back there to look at it again. But when I went back there, I see it. So I said to myself, why did they take it down? This is such a good, beautiful thing. And this police fellow was just directing the traffic. You know, the tongue on a hill. I don't know if it's still there. So I want to know if it's still there. You have been there lately?
No.
But do you know if it's still there? I really want to go just to see that.
The last time I went to Grenada, the box hanging off the edge of what's known as Long Wall in Grenada that controlled the traffic from Lucas Street, Tyrrell Street, Scott Street, and those coming from the area of the Church Hill. The box was still there, but there was a traffic light down at the bottom controlling the traffic. So I do not know if there is actually still a officer of the law standing, conducting traffic. There was also one at the top of, was known as Young Street Junction, and the area heading up to the Fort Fort George, but that too was removed over a period of time because I suppose progress rather than having a police officer standing. The one at the bottom of Church Street had no cover, while the one in that box that you're talking about hanging off the edge may have been attractive. If it started to rain heavily, you would have some issue with it, I presume. But anyway, you would get wet in there. You wouldn't think you would get wet in there?
It may look
nice to you looking at it, but think of the police officer who used to have to go, listen, when the rain start falling heavily, right, and the wind blow it in there, they used to wear gloves and all kind of things. It used to look real pretty, and they would finish like about 9 o'clock in the night or somewhere thereabouts. It didn't go all through the night. But that was when they had less traffic on the road, and you say it may have looked nice to the tourists, but times have changed, and so they've moved along.
And then the Grand Etang, I mean, those places are very beautiful. I mean,
the Caribbean in general has lots of attractions. If people would travel there, they would see how beautiful the region is and what makes us different as opposed to some of the things we have in common. Because there are things that we have in common, but there are things that are different as well.
Oh, boy, and the nutmegs. Oh, gosh. Nutmeg feels so beautiful. I just admire this place. I wish I could have been living there. You know, it is.
You might have changed your mind if you were living there.
Changed my mind? Why?
Mm-hmm. Because you may not like living there.
Well, I think that it is very beautiful to me, the Caribbean island. Even St. Vincent is so beautiful, you know, that, I mean, those places are very, very beautiful, even St. Kitts. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know why people don't like the Caribbean so much, but
because they haven't traveled.
If they do what?
Some haven't traveled.
Oh, some haven't traveled, but it's so beautiful, real beautiful. And I think that people need to admire what they have, because there are some places in Barbados, Barbadians live here, and they don't
they
even...
They never went there, correct.
Never went there. And people come from overseas, admiring it, and taking the opportunities to explore it. And, you know, and people who live here don't even know certain places.
Correct.
You know?
Because, and that's exactly why I said to you, if you live there, you may not like it, because you would have to live with it every day, and you may find out that there are things that you don't like, there are things that you would see that you say, you know, why do I have to put up with this, when there could be that. You know, it, ma'am, perhaps
like
the best
America?
Way to put it is that we're sometimes not satisfied
I
with what we
like
have.
I don't like America.
Me neither. I like to see the sea. But there are people who don't like it. There are people who tell you how great it is that, you know, that they're flyovers and they, you know, all that. I don't know. Thank you very much for sharing. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your day and the weekend. On behalf of John Stout, technical operator, producer, have a good afternoon.